Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's Mike Hall. He got picked by the Browns on Friday night. The entire town of Streetsboro celebrating. Everybody's excited. Just had his high school football coach. It's always cool. Like, we have that studio upstairs at the facility for the Browns Network, and it's called the Fishbowl. And it's always cool because you see the herd of scouts walking into the draft room about 5-6 picks before because they're doing their work over at their other office, and then they go into the draft room because that's where the big cameras are, and they don't want anybody to see some of the other real machinations that go on. Like, that's part of the thing. I don't know if there's any teams in the NFL that do all their work in that room that you see on TV. Like, there's all like, oh, I saw the Ravens and all these writings up there. I go, yeah, who knows? It's honestly, that might have been done by a person like, hey, let's decorate it. And make it look nice. Like, that's what it is. I mean, they do other things in those rooms during the year, but obviously when, like, ESPN and NFL Network is showing, like, no, they're not doing all their real stuff in that room. It just happens to be in that draft room, quote-unquote.
Isn't it weird to think about reporting to work, like, and it's an NFL football facility?
Yes.
And you're going to work, and you know there are guys that are like, so sick of work. Can't stand it anymore. God, the tedium of going over this stuff. But that is what the job is, and the team is worth who knows how many billions of dollars, and they generate a lot of revenue.
Yep.
And it's work. It is work. And those guys do have to go in and figure out, when you are thinking about real scouting, and not only the scouting of college players, which comes into focus at a time like this, but a few weeks ago when it was free agency, the scouting of all the other teams.
Yeah.
And you have to go over every single piece of film that is available.
Yeah.
That is the work.
A lot going on. But you can tell, usually they're men who can't hide their emotions very well, other than, you know, when they know the lights are on and they have to, okay, clap, because we're getting ready to be shown here. Then they walk out, and there have been times in years past where some have walked out and didn't have a great look on their face about a draft pick. But watching them Friday, people look to be pretty excited about it. I was very excited about. I was shocked. I was shocked. It was a great story, but my surprise just overwhelmed me with the Mike Hall pick that I couldn't, like, it couldn't process. Like, oh, I can't believe they actually took him. I cannot believe. Like, everybody in town was hoping that he'd be taken by the Browns, obviously, and I couldn't believe they actually took him. And it's a positive thing, it's a good thing, but I was excited about the Zach Zinter pick. Because as far as you want to talk about like unbridled enthusiasm, I was excited about that. A lot of people, you know, he broke his leg. I know he broke his leg. That was part of the reason that he fell to the third round, obviously, is that he broke his leg. He says he's cleared, and he'll be ready to go for all the football things that he has to do coming up here during the offseason with the Browns. I'm excited about that. I also know that there's some people I thought who had to get out of old Browns mode. And I'm surprised that there's still that many. Like, this is a team that has to compete this year. He is a pick. I think he's a pick that will be used in maybe, Zach, I think, wrote about maybe a, you know, fullback role like Nick Harris was. He can play center, according to what, you know, Zach was writing about it in The Athletic. We'll have Jason Lloyd from The Athletic at 9:20 this morning. But there's also where I like a Michigan offensive lineman. You say all the Michigan jokes you want. I like a Michigan offensive lineman, and I like this kid. And I think that in 2025, he can possibly step into a role and play very well in that role. Across one of the three spots on the interior offensive line, I think he could step into that role, and we'll see whether or not he can do it. Like, this is still a plan for the future, and I think that a lot of folks, when they see second, third round, we are so used to, I need a guy who can start right now, we got to start him right now. Again, there's holes, there's definitely places where you're a little lighter than others, but when it comes to your starting lineup, in a lot of ways, you're set. You're set on where your starting lineup was, and you were on Wednesday before the draft even started. So I like the Zach Zinter pick a whole bunch. I thought it was great. I love offensive linemen. You know how important I think the trenches are, which I always argue with the people who love the pet cats and love the wide receivers and love the weapons and things of that nature. I like taking Zach Zinter. I thought it was a good pick, and obviously I'm hoping that he's going to – I have a lot vested in that. I hope that he pans out.
Well, the strategy made sense. You know, I never thought that trading up made a whole bunch of sense. I think they needed, if anything, to trade down to accumulate picks. Now, they were not able to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if at times, you know, that might have been on their radar. This was never going to be the sexiest of drafts. It just couldn't be with their situation. You alluded to the talent they have on the roster. The only issue I think I had when we had Daryl on last week and we were getting into it, and I think it was the fact that I was more irritated about the basketball situation and the
Daryl
lack of
fanfare.
Daryl
said 8 o'clock this morning, by the
yeah,
way. Go ahead.
He is coming on. I think I was more irritated about that, and it bled over. But it's not that I didn't think the Browns were talented. It's that I don't think any NFL GM looks at their roster and says, we have so much talent, we don't have room for more. I just don't think a good seasoned GM would ever do that. I think you have to be anticipatory, and you have to understand where you're going to lose talent over the next few years. That's just part of the deal with the way the NFL is structured. That's mm-hmm. part of the deal with the salary cap. That's part of the deal with, you know, guys wanting to get paid as much as humanly possible, that, you know, you're going to lose. They've got guys aging out in certain positions. I do wonder on the offensive line who's going to be here in 2 years. And even 1 year.
It's rightfully so.
So yeah. That's why it made sense. Zinter move made sense. And you just did not have the draft inventory. I mean, Cincinnati had what? 10 picks. The Ravens had 9. Pittsburgh. Those teams, just if you're doing an honest grade, those teams, they had more stabs at it. They had more darts to throw. Yeah. So they're going to have better chances to hit the bullseye.
Well, there was
just how this works.
There was some about the draft grades that I didn't like. And this is sensitive. This is absolutely me just being a fan. I'm going to tell you what that is here in a moment.
But all I'm saying is, Kenny, just by virtue of where the teams are at this stage, you brought in less talent than the rest of the division. So relatively speaking, you went backwards this weekend. But if Michael Hall is unbelievable, and he, you know, is the perfect guy for that scheme, right? Yeah. I mean, just heard his high school coach, just heard coach talk about the scheme fit with Jim Schwartz. I'd like to know if he was talking to Jim Schwartz a little bit behind the scenes about
that. Sure.
But that tells you that they think that he could, if everything falls into place, which is what you're always hoping for with draft picks, it is a hope.
Yeah.
It is a hope. This is not a science, drafting players, no matter what sport. It is a hope. This is a good hope. I think it makes sense.
Andrew did try to move around with the picks. They ended up staying exactly where they were to start the weekend. Here's Andrew Berry on that.
It wasn't for a lack of effort. We were talking about that as we were coming downstairs. It's like, man, this is the first draft that we haven't executed a trade. I blame it on Kwesi, and you can quote me on that, because Kevin was joking. He's like, I've never heard two people talk more about trades involving seventh-round picks than the two of you and not get a deal done. But we had a number of opportunities where we were either trying to move around today, and it didn't make sense for whatever reason. I would not say that that's going to be the new MO.
Which, I tell you what, like, I mean, they went around in Minnesota. They only have, I think, 2 picks next year for the draft after they went up and got J.J. McCarthy. So there's a lot of moving and a lot of machinations that go around. The thing about the, you know, draft grades, I understand. You know, we got jobs to do. It's an easy way to say what you thought of the draft when you just put a draft grade on it. If I'm going to put a grade there, I'm going to put C, and that's all there's going to be. I don't think very much of draft grades. And I really don't think fans should think very much. It's just, again, it's an easy way to say, all right, overall, what'd you think of so-and-so's draft? I think a lot of them are C's. Some, I think, are a little bit better. I can't say fully F, even though, you know, some people would say the Falcons because of their first-round pick. I'd probably put it there, but you know, who knows? We'll see if Michael Penix Jr. eventually takes over and if he's really good, and maybe they're laughing at us in the next couple of years. I will say this, though. just because I didn't like it doesn't mean I can't read it. I read them all. And I found one, Mel Kiper, who didn't mention Deshaun Watson in the Texans pick by the time when they were putting their draft grades up. Like all the draft people, any of the write-outs from, you know, CBS, Brinson, the whole deal, it all basically had to do with, well, Watson and the Texans and that pick, and this is what I'm like, well, it's the Browns. Hey, I know what they did, and I can't run away from what they did. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm looking at this draft because I thought with Mike Hall, obviously you can see it. It can be solid. You got to work with him. He's only 20 years old. So it's going to be good that he has Dalvin Tomlinson next to him because some people said, we didn't have a need at defensive tackle. Shelby Harris is on a one-year deal. Mo Hurst is on a one-year deal.
That's wrong.
You absolutely have a need at defensive tackle.
Boy, I couldn't disagree with that sentiment.
Yeah.
First of all, you could never have enough talent.
That's true.
On the defensive line.
Yes.
And look, this is one of the shortcomings of their strategy over the years, or maybe not strategy, but they have not landed. Some of those defensive line picks have not really been able to stand out. So they've had to go rent a player. So they haven't been able to build that culture of that defensive line homegrown in a way that you have control over guys 4 years, understand the scheme, and they just get better and better and better in that scheme. They just have not been able to do that. So they had to take stabs.
Yeah.
I totally disagree.
Everybody knows that position had to be addressed, and they did address it there in that draft. And they had actually, I think they addressed it twice in that draft on Saturday or Thursday through Saturday. Yes.
I did have a small question, and I can't wait to see how it plays out.
I got a big answer.
But Philadelphia traded ahead of you in the fifth round to get ahead and take what they call legacy pick in Trotter, who obviously we know about his father. Yeah, they end up going wide receiver. The Browns do right behind him at 156 with Thrash.
Yeah.
And there's nothing he does that jumps off the table. Maybe what he did at Georgia State more so than what he did at Louisville this past year. And then they go with Nathaniel Watson as their linebacker at 206. Did you make anything of that situation?
As far as what they wanted a wide
receiver? Just that Philadelphia got ahead of him. They were able to get that linebacker. And then you go and take the linebacker at 206 and the wide receiver there. When a team trades up like that, you almost feel like they have intel. They feel like they know what you would have done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a conversation. I remember with David Njoku. Remember, it was a huge, big thing that Pittsburgh wanted David Njoku. And then you bumped up and you went and you got David Njoku.
Yeah.
In that draft, which
that's a great example.
Feels like a generation ago, but here we are. You went up and you got him. Everybody wanted him. Or everybody thought that the Steelers wanted him. I think that that's part of it. Also, I don't think that they should get worked up, though, because you have to understand, you have to try to plan for some of this stuff. You can't just get worked up and say any linebacker at that spot if that isn't the case. Like, maybe you don't want to move up one just to go after that linebacker, but the fact that you took a linebacker afterwards, I mean, a lot of that stuff happens all the time. If Trotter ends up playing well, great in Philadelphia. If our guy ends up playing well, then it's going to be great for us. But I don't know how much of that necessarily has to do with much of it. You can ask Jason about it if you want to. I know Zach knows about that stuff. Maybe it's a little bit different, but I didn't read too terribly much into it. 216-474-0092. Coming up next, a lot of fans want to teach the Cavs a lesson. And I can't say I hate them for it. That and Lima likes. That's Kevin Stefanski talking about his draft picks. We'll get back to the Cavs here in a moment. I do have one observation from what McKenzie just said about the uniforms. I saw that story.
Baseball uniforms.
Yeah, the baseball uniforms. It's high time. The MLB uniforms, it's high time. They did something about it. I think someone from the Players Union said they fixed something that didn't need fixing, which is fantastic. I told you, man, like, I don't know what's going on with Nike lately. It ain't going well. And I was watching the game Saturday. Saturday is one of the best baseball games I've seen all year. It was a fantastic game between the Guardians and the Braves. Sucks what happened yesterday. It sucks that Stephen Kwan ran himself out of the inning, and then Jose Ramirez did the same thing in the top of the 10th. But, you know, what are you going to do? Bad day at the office. I don't know if I'd have brought out Hunter Gaddis and another, you know, back-to-back day like there, not even 24 hours to rest. But you know what? Maybe that one goes on Stephen Vogt. I don't know. It's going to be on everybody else's decision. Was that a Stephen Vogt loss? Either way, I don't know. He wasn't the one who was running out there in the top of the 10th inning, so who the hell knows? Anyway, there was, I want to say it was Ronald Acuna led off an inning with a double, and you could see you could see unmentionables. And I went, gosh, this is no. Need a little bit more fabric there, guys. I know that was a thing that we've talked about during spring training. I thought that would get fixed. And I'm like, I can see some. I can see London and France here. This isn't very good.
Well, yeah, during the spring training, when everybody was sending those videos and pictures, it was like, oh, all right, well, they'll get this fixed by the time the season starts.
And they didn't.
And they didn't.
And they did.
Which was what was so crazy about it.
All right, Lima likes at 7:45. We got the dangerous one at 8 o'clock. Real quick, what was your favorite? Did you have a favorite pick of the Browns? Was there one that you really liked, or was it just an overall address of what they did?
I am really excited about Hall. I know it's cliche to just take the top guy. I like the opportunity there. I think he has a chance to be really good. I think it's going to bum fans out that, you know, there aren't going to be much in the way of expectations. I mean, how many meaningful snaps is he going to really get this year if the Browns are healthy? You know, I think that is what's going to bum some fans out.
I mean, he
was not a full-time player at Ohio State.
A step forward would be if he's active in a bulk of the games. I mean, you had, again, Tommy Togiai, they couldn't get him active. You had Siaki Ika, who couldn't get active. Now, I think you went fourth, third, and now second. So hopefully, I mean, he's got to be active now for these games. Because, again, you got some guys who are long in their tooth. I think playing next to Dalvin Tomlinson is going to help him. I think being in the same rotation as Dalvin Tomlinson and Shelby Harris and Mo Hurst, guys who, I mean, Shelby Harris is what, going to be 33 this year, if I'm not mistaken? So you can learn from some veterans. It's going to be able to help you out. Za'Darius Smith, Miles Garrett, Oboe Okoronkwo. I mean, there's a lot of help in that defense now in that front four that I think is going to really put him in an advantageous position. And it's not where I want to give up on Siaki Ika anyway, but it wasn't the year of development that I think a lot of people thought it was going to be for him. So I think for the Browns, they know that they got to catch up with the defensive tackle stuff. You know, wide receiver, that'll iron out. We'll see what happens with Thrash here over the next how many days, or excuse me, how many months. You obviously have Cedric Tillman you're still trying to develop. I don't know what's going to happen with David Bell. I think that he's probably a guy that starts the season on a bubble. But you also have your top three wide receivers who you have to get figured out. And, of course, there's going to be a pass-catching tight end that you have in David Njoku. Yes.
Do you think most fans, they just are never going to be blown away by a draft unless you're taking wide receivers, unless you're taking, you know, even it used to be running backs. I think most people have kind of understood that, you know, running backs, hey, it's great that you got Nick Chubb where you got him and everything, but going forward, you're just not taking running backs that high.
I think it's also being let. I think maybe some of that is. I think some of it's also the fear of not being talked about in a positive light. Like, everybody's loving the Giants draft, even though I don't know what you're going to do at quarterback, but you know what the hell? I almost got shot for that opinion on Friday night, so I don't know what the hell to make out of it. So I'm just like, hey, yeah, Malik Nabers is a great wide receiver. I don't know if he's going to have to throw the ball to himself, but we'll find out coming up here in a bit. But everybody loved that draft. Everybody loved the Jets draft last year. You remember that one? Mm-hmm. I mean, Washington, I got to admit, Washington addressed some things here in this draft that I thought ended up making a lot of sense. And that was one Nathan and I did not agree on. Nathan did not understand going after defense like that. I said, no, I like it. I think it's going to do well. It's going to do well to hopefully put Jaden Daniels in a good spot where he doesn't have to go out and lead them down the field on every drive from the very first quarter on. I think that's going to help. But
do you think it really bothered fans that once Schefter tweeted out the draft haul, now the full compensation for Deshaun Watson,
well,
that's what most that's people's takeaway about that's the Browns draft was over the weekend?
It. And again, it was the – because there are people who are draft people. And if you're a draft person, if you're part of the cottage industry, you want to talk about Washington. You want to talk about the Giants. You definitely want to talk about Atlanta. And then there's 29 other teams that you have to figure it out. And that is an easy, easy thing. So that's give Mel Kiper Jr. all the credit in the world. He did not say that. He had his conversation pieces about the Browns draft picks, and that's fine. But I think everybody else and their brother, well, you see the Deshaun Watson trade, and this is how this happened. Like, again, I can't sit there and, like, ignore it. Can't do it. It's part of our history, and as of right now, Houston's winning that trade. There ain't no way around it. We have to just deal with that. But I think that was one of the annoying things. I'm going, nah, I like Zach Zinter a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I like Mike Hall. I think we have some solid players here. Let's see how this one works out. The other ones, yeah, like I don't know how much Mississippi State defense I was actually seeing. I brought up, I go, I watched 8 Western Kentucky games for Malachi Corley, and he really wasn't even a part of the conversation overall. Like, all right, maybe I feel a little bit bad because my time was wasted in some way. I don't know, but I.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I can't say that I think it was terrible. I can't say they knocked it out of the park. It's a team that doesn't have a first round draft pick again. It's a solid enough draft where defensive tackles, yeah, we can't just sit there and look at yards and completions, and it's the same thing with offensive linemen. So when it's not,
especially
that,
on the interior,
people just go blah. Exactly,
yeah.
Interior offensive linemen as well.
And you know, there were some character concerns later on that the kid from, you know, the SEC, you had a DUI, you had what, a drag racing charge?
You talking about Devondre Sweat?
Yeah,
from Texas.
No. I'm talking about...
Which one? Are you talking about someone the Browns got?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I am not... I did not... That's on me. I had no idea there.
No. I'm just saying, in general, I think fans, when they look at a draft like this where you're not in the first round, like, it'd be fun to be a Bears fan today, right? It'd be fun because you're starting over. You've got the opportunity to take a quarterback, and then you go and get one of the stud wide receivers. That's always going to be more fun. That's always going to be, you know, the excitement that comes with that. We passed up on that because we went and got Watson. My fun was 2 years ago when they made the trade for Deshaun Watson. That's where that fun comes in for me. Unfortunately, it hasn't been fun actually on the field. You know, we didn't know at the time that he was going to miss a full season mm-hmm. of football. And then the next season, he ends up, you know, the almost a full season. Then the next season, he gets injured. Like, that has not been fun. And then we lose out of having those amazing draft moments.
216-474-0092. But yeah, that's the only thing that I get a little bit, you know, sensitive about, but I can't say it. I can't sit there and say it's going to ruin my day. A lot of Cavs fans want to teach the Cavs a lesson. So we took calls. We were pounded with them to begin the show. And we asked, do you think the Cavs are going to lose the series? And immediately they got in with people saying, not only did they think they were going to lose the series, they want them to lose the series.
They want them to go down.
Usually, I'd run you right off the show.
I know.
And hope Owen to do it. However, I do think this is a philosophical question here for Cavs fans and for everybody involved. Because as much as people have been questioning the way, there is, again, I've said it a bunch, an arrogance about the organization. And because of that, there are people who obviously want the Cavs to do well, and that's perfectly fine. And so people get in these arguments, they say, well, you just don't watch basketball. You just don't understand basketball. You don't understand how this is all going to come together. Well, I think anybody who watches basketball or doesn't watch basketball knows a terrible effort and a terrible second half when they saw one. and they saw a bad effort altogether on Thursday, and they saw a real bad second half on Saturday. And now a 2-2 series where I still don't think they're going to lose the series. I think they'll win it. Obviously, this is going to be the toughie that we thought it was going to be at the beginning. But I can't, and I'm not going to say that I want them to lose it, because I think if you play a 7-game series, you can still have common sense, go out and play the second round opponent and go, okay, these are things that still need to be addressed. Whether that has to do with the general manager or the team president or the coach or anything, you can still look at these things and say, this needs to be evaluated and checked. But I think a lot of people, because they don't trust the hierarchy going on here, we're getting the calls. I think a lot of people actually want them to take a nosedive just so they know that they're going to get what they want, which is their pound of flesh from their owner, Dan Gilbert, or that he's going to take it like they would because he is a fan just as much as any fan out there.
Yeah, after seeing the last two games, the only thing I can say about the Cavs is thank God we're coming home. They've been a different team at home, and obviously the Magic have been a different team all year on the road. That is where their inexperience, that's where their youth kicks in. Problem is, if you've ever believed in momentum and you've ever been able to detect real momentum, not just in the score, but body language,
yeah.
Holy cow, is there a chasm between these two teams? Because the Cavs, people keep talking about JB on the sidelines looking lost. The whole team looks lost. I don't think anybody looks positive right now. Maybe the closest to it is Jared Allen. And if he's your best player, you have no business winning playoff series if Jared Allen's your best player. I love how he's responded, but everybody else has not been able to. Donovan Mitchell, it is very curious because he had 18 points in that first quarter. He was looking like as electrifying as a guy with, you know, his type of season is going to look with as banged up as he has been. He looked electrifying in that first half. And the second half, what was it, a goose egg?
Yeah.
And now you've got, you know, two players on the Magic have outscored, you know, your best players. You know, Franz Wagner found life. He'd been a terrible shooter all season. He has been hunting mismatches. He's been shooting over you. There's nothing you can do defensively that's gotten in the way. You know, your defense has fallen apart and nobody can hit a shot. And it all starts with Donovan Mitchell, right? If he's not able to give a consistent effort, then the rest of the guys are looking around going, oh my God, if he's not being able to lead on the floor, who else is able to step up?
I want to be fair though. Are we talking injury again with Donovan?
I mean, I think in the first half he looked pretty healthy to me. There's no lift.
We're trying to be fair. Can only ask questions.
He's not dunking on guys. He doesn't have that elevation around the rim. But with that said, he's so skilled that against the Magic, he should be able to make up for that. They don't have shot blockers. I mean, this is not like the Knicks last year, who were not going to allow any layups or anything like that. The Magic really don't have a lot of shot blocking. You should be able to finish even with that lack of burst around the rim for Mitchell. It's going to be incumbent on him to find a way to figure things out, because I think it's pretty proven with this team that they go as he goes. And if he falters at all, then those other guys are not ready to step up.
216-474-0092. Let me get to the phones here. Larry and Elyria, you're next up on the Fan. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey. Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hi,
hey, I tell you what. First of all, I talked about the Browns draft. Basically, all it was come down to is depth. That's all it was. Couldn't do a whole lot, but they did a pretty good job what they had.
I thought so. It was fine. It was fair. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, what they did, I'm going to draw Mosley, give a lot of credit, ex-Cavs coach here. When he brought Wendell Carter back in there, see what he started doing? He started isolating Evan at the top. That's what he was doing. And once they started at the top, they make their cuts to the back there. And every time they made a switch right there, what happened was you start getting Strews. Basically, you start getting who are the other guys you had there, too? It was a mismatch. With George Niang, he cannot cover you guys. He's not athletic enough, and he cannot move. Hate to say it.
So that's still a team-building problem, then?
Well, what it is, Kenny, to me, yeah, they figured it out. Coach Mosby from the Magic figured out what to do with the Cavs. You remember the series back in Chicago that the Bulls did? They had Vukovic center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he brought the big man, Andre Drummond, in. They both started at the same time. And what was like 26 boards started dominating inside there. Once he made that move with basically Wendell Carter, almost the same thing's happening. Almost they're buying up on the guys.
Well, so Larry, I do have to ask you, like, do you still think they're going to win the series?
Yes, I do. This is what I'm going to do, Kenny. if I'm Coach Bickerstaff right now, what I'm going to do is push the ball right now with these guys. Run these guys to death, Orlando Magic. Keep pressure on them. Play transition defense. The way I start doing is playing tight defense. Get transition defense. Easy buckets off the defense here.
Well, the pace. Yeah, I mean, but I don't know. They might slow down the pace anyway, Larry. And thank you very much for the call. Plus, I mean, both these teams have never been great at pace. 216-474-0092. We will get right back to that. We promise. Also, we got Daryl at 8 o'clock. And why we in this room hate the Phoenix Suns. Lima Likes next on The Fan.
Does Lima like or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like. Like or no like.
But I definitely knew what I liked and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
Well, Kenny, it was a jam-packed weekend of sports. Was this one of the best sports weekends of the year? NFL draft, NBA playoffs. You have one of the bigger baseball series of the year. An early baseball series like this, I can't remember fans being this invested in a Guardians series this early. Yeah, two first-place teams. And they look like it. So I'll start out by saying this, and maybe I'm going soft.
I'm alive.
I thought it was good that it looked like the Guardians belonged. I hate it, obviously, that they lost 2 out of 3, and I certainly hate that I was getting texts again yesterday about Toot Bland. Were you getting the Toot Bland text, Kenny?
What's that?
Thrown out on the bases like a nincompoop. That's one of the baseball. I feel like I've tried to educate you this on the year over the years because I've had my friends consistently tweet this at me. No, that's been around for a while.
Like a nincompoop?
Like a nincompoop. That's what happened yesterday in the 10th inning.
Who says Kwan, that wording?
And well, I think it's almost an old baseball-y gag that it comes up.
You mean next, booty cheeks?
I believe, yes.
Put the safety back on.
Yes. I believe Nick Wilson has used the term toot bland before.
Hey.
What was that yesterday? How does that happen? You know, this is where the Guardians are so aggressive. On the bases. This is one of the things we like about this baseball team. So do we have to take the good and the bad? Do we have to take, hey, we're getting stolen bases. Hey, we're putting pressure, especially late in games on other teams. But the downfall is you're going to have an inning like you had yesterday when you were trying to go for the rubber match. You were trying to take 2 out of 3 against a really good baseball team.
It happens. Yesterday happens.
Well, and Vogt said afterwards he wants them to be aggressive. So
I'm not going
to
aggressive.
Like, are you okay throwing a game away like that if over the course of a season in the aggregate you have more wins than losses?
Somebody had said, there's a person I do respect with baseball, and they said, well, you know, to be taken seriously, you have to beat these teams that are competitive teams. And I'm going, all right, other than Friday night, I think the last two games of the series were obviously very competitive games. You're competing. You happen to lose 2 of 3. I wish you wouldn't have trotted Hunter Gaddis out there, but maybe there was no other choice for Steven Vogt. Like, I had to see that. Like, I was out, honestly, I was out doing BP, listening to it with my son and his buddy. So there was probably a little bit of the nuance that I missed to it, but when he brought out Hunter Gaddis, I'm sitting there in that chair getting ready to do soft toss going, I don't know if this one's going to work out.
Do you have a soft toss chair?
Oh, I got an old computer chair I sit in. Oh. It's got rollers. This thing's about 16 years old. It's Liz's old computer chair.
I'll show you a website where you get a bucket with a padded
seat. No, I ain't doing that. I've seen it. I saw it. I ain't doing it. I use a computer chair. That's the way I do it. That's the way I do my software.
Well, me and my baseball friends will talk about you.
Well, that's fine. You guys can sit there and judge me all you want, but Kenny sits in a computer chair, and that's the way it works.
And that's the way it'll be.
Yeah.
All right, well, then fine. Let's go positive with the Guardians. Saturday, Kenny.
You and Tom Emanski can go pound stand.
You said Saturday was one of the more enjoyable experiences watching the Guardians in a long time.
It was awesome.
Boy, it seemed like everybody was kind of dialed in, and it was a fun game. You get there in extra innings. You talk about Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor, the problems that they are causing for other teams and good teams having to make tough decisions. And you pull through with that victory, that felt really good.
It's great. It was what a way to win that game. It was back and forth. It was 0-0 through like 8 innings.
Yeah. What'd you think of Bybee?
Well, I thought he was fine, obviously. What my issue was I was dealing with is that we had company over, and I was to the point where I was willing to, if somebody was going to say something about, like, why aren't we watching baseball? Like, I don't think anybody could be saying that. I was willing to go downstairs to my office, and they left the baseball on, and the baseball happened to be great baseball.
Yeah.
And then the Gardos won, and so the baseball was really great baseball. And Axel came upstairs and watched the end of the baseball with everybody. And he enjoyed the baseball, so it was great. It was obviously great to win.
Yeah.
Good night all around.
Well, it felt like a baseball weekend with the weather. So
yes.
You're going to leave the baseball on when it feels
like a baseball weekend. That is a great point. You did have that feeling. Like, it just, you wanted the sounds of baseball.
Yes.
You wanted that general feel.
Give me grass clipping smells.
It just kept moving. But I mean, when you go that, how many Bibee strike out? Seven?
Yeah.
You sure he struck out seven? He struck out seven or eight? I don't remember.
It was a good amount of strikeouts.
Nine.
He struck out nine. Okay, yeah. There we go. Judas Priest. But watching that game and just not hearing anybody say, turn off the baseball. I was happy about there being the baseball on. I was happy.
I'm no liar.
Watched a lot of NBA playoffs over the weekend, and I was never as frustrated as I was last night. It's not because I watched the game live between the Suns and the Timberwolves as Minnesota and the young upstart T-Wolves pulled off the sweep of Kevin Durant and Booker and Beal.
Some say T-Pups.
But what I did do, and my wife was paying attention as well, checking on the score in the middle of the night when I was doing a feeding for young baby Mason, there was a lot at stake in that game, Kenny, because this just screwed up my week.
Yeah, it did.
There, it's the Western Conference, though.
It screwed up my week. Because I needed the Suns to win, because the Cavs would have been pushed on Tuesday to 6:30, which is a perfect time for me and my situation. I don't know if it's a perfect time for you and your situation. Instead, they're playing an 8 o'clock game now, which probably won't tip off till like 8:20.
8 o'clock is not perfect in my situation.
Now,
no.
Now I'm going to be up all night because then I will go right from the Cavs game to then the feed of baby Mason. And I'm not going to get any sleep.
It's a very bad situation.
All I needed was the Suns to win one stink. You can't beat them one time. You can't beat 22-year-old Anthony Edwards one time, who looked like Michael Jordan yesterday. 40 points, had 7 threes, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. He does it all. He really does look like young Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's a very bad situation now.
I haven't heard anyone call that since Taj Boyd.
I think you say Harold Miner. Yeah, we do throw around those comparisons a lot. This kid might
be Sebastian Telfair.
This kid might be the one. He seriously might be the one. And finally, you know, I'm going to give it this.
Lima likes.
Just because everybody in Ken's life was fired up about it, that means
Lima
for
likes.
Me that I got to love it. You know, the NFL's trying to get safer, and they're implementing this year they are calling the Guardian Cap.
I thought Nathan was going to get up and fist fight me. Live. And this was during a break.
You would
during
have needed a
break.
Guardian Cap.
Zagura and I are hosting on Friday night, and all of a sudden, and I'm not, he can say what he wants to on the air, so I don't want to tell any tales out of school. He's got his deal and his show, and he can talk about it on the air. But, I mean, I'm just – all I said was, I don't care if they wear him. I mean, you'd have thought I insulted his father. And I met his father. His father's a wonderful man. I would never insult Nathan's dad. I mean, you would have thought I insulted his entire family. Like, he stood up and started yelling at me. It was almost like Ryan Leaf and The Reporter. I'm just sitting there going, Nathan, it's not a big deal. What do you mean it's not a big deal? The logo is a helmet, Ken. And I'm going, you are way overreacting here.
Do we need to change the Browns logo if enough of the guys wear these caps? So
not a lot of
who
them
is going to wear them?
Like I said,
would Denzel Ward wear these? He's had a concussion history.
Wear those? I thought it might be a possibility that he would. I said, I don't think as many guys are going to wear these as you guys think.
They're not
aesthetically pleasing.
He'd be the poster boy. If he doesn't want to wear this, then this isn't going to work for the NFL. They're not going to wear it.
I said they're not aesthetically pleasing, and a lot of guys do care about how they look in the NFL. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of them out there. You're probably going to see a few, and who cares if 4 or 5 guys across the league wear? He's yelling at me that it might be a step closer towards flag football, and I go, how's that a step closer? In fact, it's probably a step away. Yeah, thank you. I said, I don't understand. I don't understand why I'm getting yelled at right now. I don't understand what the problem is with it. Who cares? I want more people playing football. I don't want less people playing football. I didn't get the angst.
It does. It will look jarring if anybody wears this. I swear, I don't know if anybody is going to wear this.
But you're not going to see
Make them orange.
But you're not going to see a full team of toads from Mario Kart walking out there on the field. Like, you'll see one, two in a game, and that'll be it.
That's more jarring than but if the whole team wears it.
Yeah, but you remember, like, Mark Kelso, he had the extra shell. Yep. All right, you know, that's the way it goes.
All right, that's it for Lima Likes.
Outstanding as always. Coming up at 8:20, a question of responsibility. Up next, Darryl was right about the Cavs series. And right about the Browns draft, and for whatever reason decided to take a victory lap on me about it, even though we agreed with each other. Ken Carman, Tone Master General, take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.